have my friend John Lott on the program, particularly at times like this, to help sort things out with his logic, reason, and research. John Lott, how are you, my friend?
Oh, doing great. I guess I wish we didn't have to meet like this, but that's what happens.
It's horrible. And yet, John, I feel like the usual forces wrap themselves in these horrific tragedies to advance a cause that is unacceptable. It's simply unacceptable and, quite frankly, irrational. And you've done an enormous amount of research on this. I want to ask you some specific questions. Now,
sure.
Dianne Feinstein has dusted off the old renewal of the so-called assault weapons ban, and I've explained there really is no such thing as an assault weapon unless you actually assault somebody. But that said, we'll use their vernacular, okay, so it doesn't get confusing. They want us to reinstitute that, or they want to. And Obama spokesman Carney says Obama supports and would support legislation that addresses the problem of the so-called gun show loophole. And, of course, high-capacity ammunition clips and on and on and on. First of all, what is the gun show loophole? When I purchase my guns at a gun show, they have to do a background check. I have to fill out a long form. They turn people down if they have criminal records or other records that sound off the alarms. What is this loophole they're talking about?
Right. Well, it's not really very well named because what they're, you know, it's a big surprise given all the other things you've been saying. What they're really after is any private transfers of guns. So if you were to go and give a, you know, a brother or a son or somebody or anybody a gun, sell it to them or give it to them, they would want you to have to go to have a background check done on it before you could transfer them the gun, and that there would then be a record that you had transferred the gun to them. And it really doesn't make any sense to only apply that type of transfer rule within a gun show, because if you said, okay, if you transfer a gun between private parties in a gun show, it has to go through that record keeping, but if you go out to the parking lot, then it's okay to do it. And so,
well, wait a minute. What if I do it in my house and I give it to a family member?
Right. Well, they would want to have it so that you'd have to go through all the regulations to transfer it to a family member.
And would that reduce crime in any significant way?
No. I mean, there's been studies on the states. We have 17 states that require some type of records for private transfers of guns. And there's no evidence that I've seen by any economist or criminologist that it's reduced any type of violent crime.
Mm-hmm. Because once again,
if you look at surveys of criminals who have been convicted for gun offenses, it appears that if you add together gun shows and flea markets, about 0.7% of the guns obtained by criminals came from one of those two sources.
So, even though every crime is obviously very serious, it's a minuscule percentage of the crimes that are committed with weapons.
Well, even more important, it just there's substitute ways. I mean, you know, it's they find some other way of going and getting a gun very likely, even if you didn't allow the gun show or the flea markets there.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. The so-called high-capacity ammunition clips. What is a high? What do they mean? More bullets in the clip? What is a high-capacity ammunition clip?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's in the eye of the beholder. But there, Feinstein defines it as any clip that can hold more than 10 bullets. We tried this before. That was the exact same rule that we had during the assault weapons ban from 1994 to 2004. I mean, the interesting thing is here, Feinstein is going and trying to get the same rules that we had before. They're a little bit different in terms of how they're going to be put in place. But when it sunset in 2004, Feinstein was one of the people predicting big increases in murder rates and violent crime. You would think reporters, I saw that she was being interviewed today by Gwen Ifill, would say, okay, rather than throwing up fluffball questions all the time, why not say one thing, time, okay, we had this before. You made predictions about what was going to happen to crime rates when it sunset. Those didn't happen. Why should we believe that you're more accurate in predicting the impact of this law than you were predicting the impact of the previous version of it?
And what about this? Paul Bedard has a piece in the Washington Examiner. And he says, look, the enforcement of our existing gun laws under Obama, cutting weapons prosecution some 40% since a high of 11,000 under former President Bush. I mean, are they even, aggressively pursuing existing gun laws? Doesn't appear to be. I mean, Paul Bedard.
Right. I haven't looked into that carefully. I mean, they can change that pretty quickly, I guess. But, the problem is we already have a fairly complicated system of laws. You know, these claims, I don't know how many times I hear about how easy it is to go and buy a gun. And, I hear claims about being able to buy guns on the Internet and all sorts of things. And obviously you can't do that. You have to go through a background check when you buy from a dealer and or buy a new gun. And you have to buy it from a dealer. You can't go and just buy things off the Internet. So we've had a lot of regulations. The problem is, I think with this whole debate, most of these hosts on the TV have no clue what these guns are. I mean, I was on CNN four times in the last 4 days, and I don't think any of the hosts that I was on knew what an assault weapon was. They would be talking about machine guns. They'd use them interchangeably with it. And you try to explain to them that these assault weapons are just, banning guns based upon how they look. The original assault weapons ban, a lot of the guns were chosen simply because Feinstein and her staff went through catalogs of guns and picked guns that they thought looked particularly scary. And then they had some other rules based upon whether it had like a bayonet mount or a certain type of grip for holding the gun. But, there's no evidence. There's no academic study by criminologists or economists that sunsetting the bill had any beneficial impact, hurt in terms of increased crime. And even the Clinton administration studies that were paid for didn't show any benefit in terms of reducing crime when it was in effect.
All right, let me cut to the chase because you've written about this. Let's take an AK-47. Is the AK-47 used in the military the same weapon, the AK-47, that is sold on the civilian side?
No. And when we hear these stories about some crime that's been committed with an AK-47, they're always civilian versions of these guns. And
well, what is a civilian version of that gun? What does it do differently?
No military would use these civilian versions because they're not machine guns. It's one pull of the trigger, one bullet coming out. Whereas a machine gun, you pull the trigger and multiple bullets come out. The president has been partly responsible for this confusion because he's constantly referring to these guns as machine guns. But here's the deal. There's basically three different types of guns. You have machine guns, which one pull, lots of bullets come out. Semi-automatic.
All right, stop. Let's do one at a time. Machine guns.
Right.
So if I want to buy a machine, hold on now. If I want to buy a machine gun, you pull the trigger and it's firing off a zillion rounds at a time. Can I do that?
You have to go through special approval. There's like a limit of 250,000 of those guns in the population.
And who has to approve it?
The federal government. The BATF.
Right. The ATF, correct?
Right.
So that's not a gun show loophole, is it? The ATF, in that case, has to, and typically something like that could take 6 to 12 months.
Takes a long time. There's a big $500 fee that you have to pay for getting it. And these guns are very expensive. Like, the cheapest you can get is like $15,000 because there's a limit on the number there. Hold on now.
In any of the four massacres that Obama mentioned the other day, was a machine gun used?
No. In no massacre. In no multiple victim public shooting has a machine gun been used.
So in no multiple victim public shooting massacre has a machine gun been used, correct?
Right. None of the ones that we talk about here have over the years, not just over the last year, has involved a machine gun.
Well, this is my point. This is so all right, now go ahead. You were going to move on from a so-called assault weapons.
Well, then you have these semi-automatics, which are completely different firing mechanism inside. which one pull of the trigger, one bullet comes out, and then it automatically will reload the next bullet, and then you have to pull the trigger again to have another bullet come out. And then the final...
Okay, so hold on now. So a military version of that has nothing but looks and style in similarity with the civilian version, correct?
That's right. That's the reason why they call it military style. The key word is style. It's just some people like hunting rifles that look like military weapons. And so, you know, who knows why people like red cars or blue cars or whatever, but some people just like, you know, the way it looks on the outside. But the inside guts of these so-called assault weapons are just the same as any semi-automatic hunting rifle. And they fire the same bullets with the same rapidity, doing the same damage as a hunting rifle. So here's the bottom line, and that is...
Hold on now. You have a third category. I want to stick on this. And what was that?
Well, these are ones where you have to manually do something that yourself will put another bullet into the chamber. So if you have a bolt-action gun, you know, you have to physically put a bullet in, close the bolt, and then fire the trigger, and then you have to open the bolt and then put in another bullet.
So if somebody breaks into your house with a Glock, you're in deep trouble.
That's exactly right. That's the whole problem. Let me make one statement first. If they want to ban semi-automatic assault weapons, they ought to ban all semi-automatics because they're all the same, whether they look a certain way or not. But I don't think they want to do that or say they want to do that because most guns are semi-automatic. But if they were to ban it, the debate has to be over what the benefits are, and your point you're bringing up is exactly the issue. If I'm up against two criminals, I don't want to have a bolt-action rifle. If I have, if I miss firing a shot, I don't want to have to take the time of trying to physically put another bullet into the chamber in that rifle. And, you know, if I miss or if I wound the guy, but it's not enough to stop him from coming at me, you want to have the option to be able to quickly fire a second bullet. And so, look, semi-automatics do damage. There's no doubt about it. They cause harm, but they also create benefits. And the question that needs to be debated sometime and isn't, it's just people only focus on the costs possible there, are all the defensive gun uses that wouldn't be possible otherwise if you didn't allow people to have semi-automatic guns. The point you bring up is exactly the key point.
John Lott, I'd like to hold you another segment. Are you willing to hang in there?
Sure, thanks.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you about Stamps.com. With the holidays almost here, you don't have time to go to the post office, the traffic, the parking. It'll be packed with everyone mailing holiday gifts and packages. So do what I do. Use Stamps.com instead. And with Stamps.com, you can avoid all the hassle of going to the post office during the busy holiday season. Everything you would do at the post office, you can do right now from your desk. Buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer, domestic mail, international mail, certified mail, whatever you do at the post office. And you can print postage for any letter or package the instant you need it. Then the mailman picks it up. It's that easy, it's that convenient. And I use Stamps.com all the time. Right now, get this special offer when you use my name, Mark. A no-risk trial. I repeat, a no-risk trial. Plus, a $110 bonus offer. And that includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. It's kind of a Christmas gift, if you will. So don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone. It's at the top of the homepage. Make sure you type in my name, Mark. That's Stamps.com. Enter Mark.
Mark Levin.
Back with John Lott. Okay, John Lott, so here's my concern. My concern is no matter what... And by the way, for a fellow who posted, our military doesn't use AK-47s. I think I know that. I said the military version of the AK-47. Isn't that what we're talking about, John Lott, as opposed to the civilian version? I know our military doesn't. Anyway, that's a different issue. So I'm concerned what's happening here, John Lott, is we are, I hear even conservatives saying, we need to have a commission to look at this. We need to do that. I mean, we are conferring on government a power the government doesn't have under the Second Amendment. And this is part of the problem I have. In addition, people say, well, maybe we ought to have armed teachers and so forth in public schools. You know, that's fine by me if a school district wants to do it. But what are you going to do? Have armed cashiers at grocery stores? If people want to do that, that's fine by me. You're going to have armed peanut guys who are selling peanuts at the sports complexes and so forth. Wouldn't it make more sense to let people who've gone through training and safety courses and have actually practiced with the weapon to carry the weapon in more places?
That would make sense to me. You know, I don't think you need to mandate it. I don't think you need to allow it. Right. You just allow it. I mean, the problem is if you just look at what's happening, what's actually happened, what you find is that these people, just by allowing people in places voluntarily, is enough to stop the attacks from occurring there. All these attacks are occurring in the tiny areas within the states where concealed handguns aren't allowed. So it's not like we're having to mandate it in other places.
Let us emphasize this. So all of these attacks, or almost all of them, occur in the so-called gun-free zone areas, correct?
That's right. It's with one exception. Since at least 1950, all the public mass shootings in which more than three people have been killed have occurred where handguns are banned, where concealed handguns are banned.
Mm-hmm. So these are not really gun-free zones because the criminal can bring a gun in. They're danger zones for honest, law-abiding citizens, aren't they?
Right. Well, you could say defense-free zones or something, I guess.
Yeah.
But right. But in fact, the problem with these bans is that the law-abiding citizens obey them, the criminals don't, and it's a magnet for the attacks there. I mean, if these were random, then 98-99% of these public shootings that we have would be occurring in places where you could get guns.
And yet, John Lott, other than you and a handful of other people, even not a handful, maybe one or two other people, who is even talking about dealing with these so-called gun-free zones? I mean, as your study and scholarship has shown, gun-free zones kill people.
Right. Well, I mean, I understand people's reactions. They think, well, if I just ban guns in a place, that will make it safe. The problem is they don't think about who obeys the laws and who doesn't. I mean, the same things happened in larger areas like Washington, D.C. and Chicago. People have seen firsthand, I hope Americans remember, what happened there when we banned guns in D.C., and more importantly, not just the handguns, but we made it a felony for people to use the long guns in self-defense. We saw huge increases in murder rates. And it's gotten almost no news, particularly in respect to the Supreme Court decision. But
all right, John Lott, I got to go. The music makes me dance. I got to go to the break. John Lott, I really thank you, my friend. You're really an incredibly important contribution to this debate. I'll be right back.